County Road I from Maxwell Hill Road to Hawkins Creek Road is closed today until 3:30 p.m. for culvert replacement. This is in Westford Township. Again, County I closed until 3:30 for culvert replacement. Starting August 17th, the Richland County Highway Department will be doing some repairs on Highway 14 East. This work will start Monday at 7 a.m. and last through August 20th, which is Thursday, at 4 p.m. This work will take place between Highway 58, headed west to Jelland Lane. The right lane will be closed between these two roads. There will be a work zone set up with signs, arrow boards, and barrels to help guide traffic past the work zone. For more information, call Lonnie Hatch at 608-604-7623. In today's primary, Democratic voters are weighing their options between mainstream and progressive candidates to decide who will face Republican Tom Tiffany in the governor's race in November. A recent pre-election poll indicates that State Representative Francesca Hong held a significant lead with 44% of the vote, followed by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley at 22% and State Senator Kelda Royce at 11%. The landscape of the race shifted recently when former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes dropped out, stating that the nominee is clear and urging Democrats to focus their efforts on the general election. Voter sentiment reveals a range of perspectives on these choices. While some voters remain concerned about Hong's electability in the general election and prefer the moderate approach of Crowley, others are optimistic about party unity. Supporters of Hong emphasize her focus on affordability and her ability to push back on issues as key reasons for their support, expressing confidence that voters will galvanize around her if she secures the nomination. Polls, of course, are open until 8 p.m. The City of Richland Center's monthly large item pickup is Monday, August 17th. Residents are reminded to have eligible items at the curb by 6 a.m. on Monday. Republic Services crews will begin collection Monday and continue citywide until complete. Please note that this is not a multi-pass pickup. Once crews have completed an area, they will not return later in the week. Pickup guidelines include maximum of 5 items per address. Items must be under 50 pounds and manageable by one person. No Freon appliances, yard waste, tires, hazardous waste, or construction debris. Items that exceed these limits or contain prohibited materials will not be collected. Residents with additional or oversized items can contact Republic Services directly to arrange a special pickup at resident cost or transport items to their Boscobel facility. In addition, the city's monthly yard waste collection begins Monday, August 17th. Yard waste is to be placed on the curb, not in the gutter, by 7 a.m. Monday morning. The city streets crew will continue to pick up until all has been collected. Please note that this is not a multi-pass pickup. Once the crew has completed an area, they will not return later in the week. Also, a reminder that only leaves, branches, and brush and garden waste is considered yard waste. Brush and limbs may not exceed 6 feet in length nor 6 inches in diameter and are to be placed with the butts facing the curb. Brush should be stacked in manageable piles. Leaves and grass clippings are to be put in biodegradable bags or open containers. Leaves in plastic bags will not be picked up. Containers will be emptied and returned to the curb. Note, lumber, rocks, landscaping materials, concrete, soil, and sod are not considered yard waste and will not be picked up. Whether you have a large item or yard waste to be picked up, please ensure your vehicle is not parked in the way of the items. The city appreciates our residents' cooperation and assistance in keeping the city of Richland Center clean and safe. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee is scheduled to convene today at 5 p.m. to address a robust agenda of critical local issues. Meeting in the Richland County Boardroom, officials will prioritize a discussion on the proposed 765 kilovolt transmission line, a 190-mile project spearheaded by Mid-Continent Grid Solutions that has faced mounting opposition from southern Wisconsin landowners and officials. Local stakeholders have voiced significant concerns regarding a lack of transparency and a truncated timeline for public engagement, particularly given the potential impact on family farms and the sensitive natural landscape of the Driftless area. The committee's review comes as residents demand parcel-specific mapping and a more realistic period for evaluation before the formal application is submitted to the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. Beyond the utility project, the committee will shift its focus to the county's long-term financial and physical infrastructure. Members are slated to discuss the 2027 preliminary county budget, a foundational step in next year's fiscal planning, and evaluate the comprehensive facility improvement plan. The agenda also highlights recreational and public safety developments, including potential action on UTV and ATV trails at Ash Creek Forest and the formal creation of an ad hoc committee dedicated to developing recommendations for a new jail facility. This proposed advisory body would address longstanding questions regarding the county's correctional infrastructure and future public safety needs. The meeting will also encompass significant administrative and health-related matters. Discussion will cover private pay rate increases for the skilled nursing facility and community-based residential facility, as well as a resolution authorizing community health services to apply for and accept the 2027-5310 operating and capital purchase grants. Before concluding, the committee may enter a closed session to evaluate employment and performance data for the county administrator pursuant to state statutes. Super registration for the Richland School District is held today from 1 p.m. until 7 p.m. at the Richland Center High School. Super registration gives students an opportunity to register for the upcoming school year. Students who will be new to the district are especially encouraged to attend so you can get enrolled. During the event, there will be staff members on hand to assist parents and their children who will be attending the Richland School District this year. There will be representatives from various groups and organizations in attendance to answer any questions about transportation, extracurricular activities, sports, and more. Also at the event, student photos will be taken. There will be school tours, a food truck, and more. You can find out more about super registration on the school district website or by calling the district office at 608-647-6106. A high-speed police pursuit late Friday night ended dramatically when a fleeing vehicle drove into Lake Como, according to reports from the City of Lake Geneva Police Department. The incident began shortly after 11 p.m. Friday, August 7th, when officers attempted a traffic stop in the 100 block of Broad Street after noticing a passenger hanging out of a vehicle without a seatbelt. The driver refused to yield, instead accelerating to high speeds and traveling the wrong way down a one-way street. During the flight, the vehicle disregarded numerous traffic signs as it fled into the town of Geneva. The pursuit reached its conclusion at the Schofield Drive boat launch, where the vehicle entered Lake Como and traveled roughly 100 feet into the water before coming to rest. All four occupants managed to escape the sinking car and swim toward a nearby pier, where they were assisted out of the water by arriving officers. Emergency medical services evaluated the individuals at the scene. Two were transported to a local hospital for further treatment, while the remaining two declined medical care. Authorities identified the driver as 18-year-old Cash Rauscher of Delavan. Rauscher now faces an extensive list of charges, including second-degree recklessly endangering safety, reckless driving, fleeing or eluding an officer, and violation of absolute sobriety, along with citations for operating without a license or insurance, failure to obey a traffic officer, failure to stop at a stop sign, and unreasonable speed. In a prepared statement, Senator Sarah Kieski provided essential details regarding the BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line project, a significant development proposed for our region. This project stems from a comprehensive plan approved by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, MISO, Board of Directors in December of 2024. Following an open bid process in January of 2026, MISO selected Mid-Continent Grid Solutions to lead the construction and management of this new line. The project is ambitious in scope, encompassing a 190-mile transmission line that spans a 9-county region. The proposed route begins at a substation in Bell Center, Wisconsin, extends to the Columbia Energy Center near Portage, continues to a substation in Sugar Creek, Wisconsin, and finally reaches the Wisconsin-Illinois state line. Because of the size and scale of this infrastructure, the project will have a lasting presence in our local landscape. Mid-Continent Grid Solutions is currently in a critical phase of seeking public input to help determine the final route for the power line. This feedback is vital as it will inform the formal proposal MGS plans to submit to the Wisconsin Public Service Commission in early 2027. To ensure your voice is heard, it is important to note that MGS seeks to receive initial public feedback by the deadline of September 7th. Landowners and stakeholders who may be affected by the proposed routes should be receiving letters from MGS containing project information and detailed maps. If you have questions or wish to share specific concerns, you can contact the project team directly via email at connect@mgswisconsin.com or by phone at 608-895-0798. Engaging with these resources is the best way to understand how your specific property may be impacted. To facilitate this engagement, MGS is hosting several open houses throughout August. These events offer the public an in-person opportunity to learn about the project, ask questions of the engineers who will be present with parcel-specific technology, and provide feedback on the placement of the line. For those unable to attend these sessions in person, MGS has made an online open house available at mgs-projects.com/BECI, which includes an informational slideshow and online comment cards. Kieski adds she is personally impacted by this proposal. Her community of Lodi stands to be directly affected, and like many of you, she will be receiving a notification letter. While Kieski serves as in the legislature, she has no more official say in this process than any other citizen. Dust off your musical theater knowledge and gather your brightest friends for an unforgettable evening at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Saturday, August 15th, the RCHS Theater Department is thrilled to host a high-energy trivia night and silent auction. This exciting community event serves as a vital fundraiser to support the upcoming production of the smash hit musical Mamma Mia, ensuring our talented students have the resources they need to bring this fun story to life on stage. The festivities begin with registration from 6 p.m. until 6:30, giving you plenty of time to browse the unique items available in the silent auction before the main event kicks off. The trivia competition officially starts at 7 p.m., promising rounds of challenging questions and friendly rivalry. Whether you are a local history buff or a pop culture expert, there's something for everyone to enjoy as we celebrate the local arts scene. Participation is just $10 per person. Teams can have up to 8 people to maximize the fun. Every dollar raised through entry fees and auction bids goes directly toward the RCHS Theater Department, funding costumes, sets, and technical equipment for the hardworking performers. The For Pete's Sake community is ready for the highly anticipated Day in the Park taking place this Sunday at the Spring Green Municipal Park. This celebratory event begins at 8 a.m. with the run, walk, bike, and pickleball tournament activity. Participants who missed the pre-registration deadline can still sign up on site at 7:30 a.m., although t-shirts will not be available for those late registrants. The festivities expand at 11 a.m. with an exciting lineup of live music, food, and family-friendly entertainment. The stage will feature a variety of bands throughout the day, concluding with a performance by the Solstice Jazz Band. Food and beverages provided by the Spring Green Lions will be available from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., offering a menu ranging from classic picnic fare to ice cream treats. Families can take advantage of the kids' area, which features obstacle courses, crafts, and a photo booth running from noon until 5. Other highlights include the return of the popular cake walk and the silent auction, which will be open for viewing at 11 a.m., with bidding tables closing at 4:30 p.m. Raffle winners will also be drawn at 5 p.m. Looking ahead, the organization will host its 6th annual golf outing at the House on the Rock Resort September 17th. The deadline to register for this event is September 1st. For those wishing to support the ongoing mission of For Pete's Sake through donations or sponsorships, or to find further details about upcoming activities, please visit the official website at forpetesake.com. Welcome back to the news at noon. This time of year, it is a great time to be outdoors. With the warmer temperatures, consumers should be aware of door-to-door solicitors who also take advantage of the nice weather. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Summer is a good time of year, especially as it turns into fall, for anyone to be outdoors, but you tend to see more and more of the solicitors trying to take advantage of this good weather opportunities. And we want to be sure that everyone's aware that Wisconsin has door-to-door solicitation laws in our state. And so we want to be sure that anyone selling door-to-door is following those, but that consumers know what those laws are so they can easily spot a business that may not be following the regulations or a scammer who's out there. But the kinds of businesses we see this time of year tend to be those storm damage repair companies, tree removal and tree trimming for winter preparation, the blacktop and asphalt paving that swoop in and swoop out during the very hot late summer weather, solar panels, pest control, even telecommunication services that have been upgrading their lines in different communities have been going door to door as well.
When a solicitor comes to your door, make sure you receive plenty of information about them and what they're actually selling.
These sellers, as soon as they start a conversation, have to disclose who they are and what they are selling at the very start of opening that door. And some solicitors use that high-pressure tactic or urge consumers to act quickly by offering enticements like limited-time-only deals or just trying to instill that guilt or fear of missing out on something because they're, you know, doing business with your neighbor, and so we want to give you this opportunity as well. But a legitimate business is going to be happy to leave literature behind and a business card and give you the time to check out the details and maybe check out other companies as well. But another type of business that is more dishonest is going to make sure that you take advantage of the deal right there before they leave. And they're going to want your payment and for you to sign contracts. And be sure that you check everything out and ask all the questions before you engage in any payment or signing a contract.
If you are told that someone you know has purchased what the salesperson is selling, be sure to verify that what you are told is legitimate.
You should be allowed the time, if they really want your business, to go check with that neighbor. Ask that neighbor if they really are using that company, because if they are indicating that as part of the solicitation, it needs to be truthful information that they are providing you. And if you find a solicitor who's being dishonest, we hope that you will report that to Consumer Protection so we can follow up on enforcing the door-to-door sales regulations in our state.
If you are approached by a dishonest solicitor, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 800-422-7128. Universities of Wisconsin Interim President Renee Wachter, alongside several university representatives, recently announced the Cures for Tomorrow initiative as a cornerstone of the system's 2027 through 2029 budget request. This ambitious proposal seeks a $25 million state investment specifically dedicated to advancing life-saving research and treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other devastating diseases that impact families across the state. President Wachter emphasized that the initiative is designed to help Wisconsin do more by supporting promising research, strengthening vital partnerships, and involving students in the scientific process. By moving discoveries closer to the people who need them, the program aims to provide earlier diagnoses and breakthroughs for some of the most pressing health challenges today. The UW Board of Regents is scheduled to vote on the full budget proposal next week. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. An area blood drive will be held today from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. at Hillsborough High School. Blood drive will also be held today. Started at 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Wisconsin Secure Program Facility at the M Building in Boscobel. A variety of food and treats will be served. You can book an appointment for either blood drive by calling 800-RED-CROSS, download the blood donor app, or visit redcrossblood.org. Walk-ins are welcome. When a typical Sunday afternoon at the Lewisburg Junction Supper Club in rural Grant County took a critical turn, Kelly Bartles, a nursing student at Southwest Wisconsin Technical College, demonstrated the profound impact of professional medical training. While working as a waitress, Bartles noticed a customer in acute respiratory distress. Recognizing the immediate signs of choking after the individual's wife called for assistance, Bartles acted without hesitation. Drawing upon the foundational skills she first acquired during her certified nursing assistant coursework at Southwest Tech, she successfully administered the Heimlich maneuver, clearing the obstruction and saving the man's life. Bartles, a graduate of Platteville High School, currently entering her final year of the Southwest Tech nursing program, was recently recognized by the Grant County Sheriff's Office with the Citizen Life-Saving Award. Reflecting on the incident, Bartles noted that despite never having performed the procedure on a person outside of a classroom setting, her rigorous training immediately took over. This instinctual response underscores the efficacy of the hands-on education provided by Southwest Tech instructors, which Bartles credits for instilling the confidence and technical proficiency required to manage such a high-pressure emergency. The professional community and her employer have praised her calm and decisive demeanor. Patty Schutz, owner of Lewisburg Junction, commended Bartles for her ability to take charge of the situation with ease and composure. As Bartles prepares to graduate and begin her career as a registered nurse, this incident serves as a powerful testament to her preparation, compassion, and clinical readiness. The city of Hillsborough has scheduled a city council meeting for tonight. This session is set to begin at 7 p.m. and will be hosted at the Hillsborough Public Library. The evening's discussions will span several key municipal departments. The Safety and Welfare Committee will lead with a report from the police chief, while the Improvement and Services Committee is slated to provide progress updates on the local swimming pool, as well as ongoing maintenance regarding city streets, alleys, and trees. Financial matters will also be addressed by the Finance and Personnel Committee during their review of the monthly bills accumulated since early July. Concluding the scheduled agenda, the Council intends to transition into a closed session. This move is sanctioned under Wisconsin state statutes, specifically Section 19.85(1)(c), which allows governmental bodies to deliberate on sensitive personnel matters in private. This portion of the meeting will focus on considerations related to employment, promotion, or compensation of public employees, ensuring that confidential discussions are handled according to legal requirements before the meeting eventually adjourns. A single vehicle accident Friday afternoon sent first responders to State Highway 56 after a local driver lost control on the rain-slicked roadway. According to Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson, the incident occurred at approximately 4 p.m. August 7th in the town of Viroqua. The operator of the vehicle, identified as 31-year-old Pawanpreet Kaur of Viroqua, was driving a 2022 Land Rover Range Rover SUV eastbound when she encountered a curve near Elm Drive. Due to the wet road conditions at the time, the vehicle left the right side of the pavement before eventually coming to a rest in an upright position. Although the SUV sustained damage, the safety measures in place played a critical role in preventing serious harm, including her seatbelt and the safety restraints for her children, who were not injured.